this team go all the way? Are they going to do it? That's the question I have to start the show on a Monday morning. Welcome to the Sports Machine with Slim. Can they go all the way? Their best player coming through when the lights are the brightest? Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Can this team go all the way? I bet you didn't think I was going to say that. But I also bet you didn't think last week I was going to tell you Minnesota's going to beat Denver. And in game one, they most certainly did. And Anthony Edwards is the best basketball player on the planet. Pistol, I started the show today because I know you love the NBA talk. You'll be coming on in segment three today. I said last week, I promise, we're going to give you some basketball 50-50. But today we're probably going more Bruins, dude. We have to. The Bruins, Saturday night, came through. Their best player, or maybe second, Charlie McAvoy's right there, but David Pastrnak responds to the challenge from coach Jim Montgomery. Trust in Monty. We've been talking about this on the airwaves now for about 4 months. When I did the special on Jim Montgomery, did an entire show on him and said, hey, this is the guy we want at the helm of the ship. And by golly, Saturday night, he did it. He came through. Thomas Polk will join us in segment two. In segment four, we have Maddie from the Benders podcast, who's come on a couple times in the last few weeks. I really like this guy. He got his stuff together, and I got some compliments to send his way when he's on the show. So much action from the weekend. I'll try and recap a bunch of it all. We're going to go hardcore Bruins, obviously, for a couple of segments. I'm wearing my Bruins shirt today. We're going to preview the Florida series at the end of the show with Maddie. Listen, people. All I'm going to tell you is the Bruins beat Florida four times this year in four regular season games. Last year, the Bruins lost to Florida in the playoffs, but we beat them 3 out of 7. So don't have this mindset coming into, oh, we're going to get crushed by Florida. We can't beat them. Well, what are you talking about, dude? It was 3-4 last year, and we beat them 4 times this year. What in your brain, other than the media and the talking heads just pummeling you with these talking points, would have you convinced that, like, we can't win? Are you watching Jeremy Swayman play? Z-Cad said it, I think it was Friday or Thursday when he called last week. He said, hey, everybody, we have the best goalie in the league. Relax. He pulled an Aaron Rodgers of sorts. And, man, Jeremy Swayman, you came up big Saturday, as you have in the last few games. Is he going to get the start tonight? We're probably not going to talk a ton about that because who cares? It's festive. It's Festivus, baby. I don't know when the date was on Seinfeld when Kramer declared it Festivus, but today it is Festivus for the rest of us, and we're going to celebrate before we get into game one tonight. I will say, let's just rewind. As I said, through the weekend, we have the Kentucky Derby where none of our horses were anywhere close, unfortunately, but boy, Mystic Dan. I watched the replay of that. This horse and this jockey, I think it was Brian Hernandez, rode him. The hole that he went through on that far turn to just take the lead on the inside, literally, there was less than a horse width length for him to go through between the horse that was in front of him and the rail. And he just was like, I'm going to fit right through there. Sucked his gut in and just kind of pushed right through like you might into a tight pair of jeans. And he just made it through in no time at all and goes on to cruise. Paid, I think, something $40 or something for the win ticket. Congratulations to anybody that had Mystic Dan. It wasn't me. But in the midst of the chaos Saturday, let's just take a moment, please, before we move forward, to reflect on what could have been and the way we were all feeling, Bruins fans, watching Saturday night, the developments unfold. And I taped it on my phone. I rewound it, and I said, I'm going to play this Monday morning. So let's listen to what I had on my phone real quick.
All An excruciating.
Pause. I apologize for the explosion there. An excruciating end to its season. That's where we were, everybody. It was 1-0. Toronto was beating us. Third period. And we can all feel it just slipping away. Oh, no. Oh, no. So much time put into this. So much belief. Guaranteed the Game 6 win. I've been telling everybody for months this Bruins team is special. We're going to do it. We're gonna really surprise people. Nobody's talking about us. We're under the radar. This team, our superstars, are way better. We're in the right headspace. Jim Montgomery, the goalie tandem, everything is in the mix. And we're going to lose again. Oh, my God, just like we did last year. I can understand how Bruins fans are just like jagged. No way. Because that's going to carry over to you in the rest of your life, in the rest of society, in your dealings with people. If you're a Bruins fan, you just continue to come up short like that, as it must be for Toronto Maple Leafs fans. They must carry this around with them all the time. I feel not even a little bit bad for them. Better them than us experiencing that loss. In your face, Toronto fans. But for Bruins fans, we could have been there. Like, if things didn't work out this way this morning, I'm ranting and raving. I'm certainly not starting the show talking about how this team might be able to go all the way and their best player is playing fantastic, because the Minnesota Timberwolves weren't going to be the first topic of discussion this morning. It was going to be, are they going to fire my man Jim Montgomery? Trust in Monty? Because I would say no. Everybody else would be like, yes, yes, yes. I would have said, hey, listen, it's not him. It's the players. It's the players. Come on. 6 closeout games in the last 2 years. We're up 3-1, 2 series, and we lose them both? Thank goodness we're not talking about that this morning. Just atrocious. What a horrible feeling it would have been. Instead today, it's Festivus. It's Festivus. Tom Brady last night, the roast. I know Mitty had given us all a heads up. There was some funny stuff. Tom Brady made a funny comment on that I saw. I didn't watch the event. I saw on Twitter, though. The NFL, he put it, he goes, where's Roger Goodell? Roger Goodell, he's looking for him to be at the roast. Roger was not there. You know, talking about Deflategate, the NFL spent $20 million to investigate and come up with the findings that the probability was there that Tom knew about the footballs being deflated. He goes, hey, they could have just paid me the $20 million and I would have told him, yeah, I did it. That's pretty tough. It wasn't the exact wording, but it was even more aggressive, and there was an F-bomb, I think, thrown in there by him. But it was a pretty great reaction from the rest of the crowd. The one or two people that I saw who didn't really react all that positively, Gronkowski. He looked not upset, but just like, ooh. Like, almost like Tom had said, no, man, I didn't deflate those. No, man, I hadn't. Those weren't deflated. They're trying to set me up. And then all of a sudden, it was revealed, like, yeah, I really did it. I was really lying to you this whole time. I don't know if that was the case, but that's what I took from Gronkowski's reaction, because everybody else was laughing, standing up, giving him high fives. So apparently, it was a great event. Good for them. Cleveland Cavaliers, they get some high fives. Donovan Mitchell, hey, here you go. Here's a little golf clap for your pal. You scored 50 in Game 6. You're walking around like you're wounded. Never, you know, you'll be in a wheelchair for Game 7. And then he shows up in Game 7, puts in 39, and they beat Orlando. In the NBA, man, it really does. It's growing pains. Like, you have to lose as a young team to get through the playoff run. You just do, whether it's a first round, second round. You can think back to Michael Jordan. All these teams had to go through their growing pains. Well, does Minnesota have to go through those same growing pains? I'm not sure. I can't say that, like, last year. I think they lost in the first round or something. Those weren't. Like, now they have a legitimate chance to win it all here. Anthony Edwards is a man I am afraid of, no doubt. Talked to my brother yesterday just about how Anthony Edwards going up for rebounds in the fourth quarter and snagging them. He's like way above everybody else with one arm, just ripping them down. But in the first half, going to a timeout, the announcer's like, oh, Anthony Edwards, he's breathing heavy. He looks tired. It's the air. No, dude, this guy is just a next level player. It's fun to watch a 22-year-old who may be the next Michael Jordan. We'll ask the Pistol about that in segment 3 today, but when we come back, we're talking Thomas Poke, we're talking Bruins, we're talking jubilation, we're talking Festivus here on the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. This is nhtalkradio.com on a Monday morning. The Bruins can win it all. I watched these other games. Yesterday, Dallas playing Vegas in a game seven, and you see the game-winning goal. It's just, I mean, I don't want to say it's luck, but it's like a deflection, and then it deflects off the goalie. It's boom, boom, just inches, fraction of inches that determine the outcomes of a lot of these games. And thank goodness the fraction of an inch bounced that came off of the boards there when Lindholm threw that pass all the way down the ice, just bounced exactly where we needed it to. Thomas Poke calling in on a Monday morning, exactly when we need you to. Nice work out there, Thomas. Are you as happy as I am this morning?
Yeah, it was an exciting game to watch, and I'm glad they pulled through. You know, as I said before, it keeps my bracket alive.
Selfish reasons. There we go. We all got, for selfish reasons, more people are going to want to listen to this show and pay attention to calls like this right here. So I'm selfishly rooting for the Bruins to go all the way and just keep picking up listeners as we go. I will say this, Thomas, out of the gate. It's funny that Saturday, I mean, the whisker of difference between success and failure in life is so evident in something like this. But I would tell you, if Lindholm and Pasta didn't come through in the third period the way that they both did, I would be here this morning saying those were the two guys that we need to trade. I just felt like they both hadn't come through and, in fact, let people down during the series. And then, lo and behold, boom, they go ahead and totally redeem themselves.
Hey, that's what star players do, though, right? I mean, you heard the coach after game six. He kind of called out Pasta. Wasn't really bad, but he did call him out on it. Pasta woke up the next morning and kind of took it, all right, no, he's right. I got to be better. I know it can be better. And he did. You know, it's the best players that need to be your best players. And if you want to look at the flip side there, and that's what's something going on in Toronto, and we can, you know, talk about it. The blue in the face they have, they keep giving their four guys that they pay the most money up front all the chances in the world. They lose the game 2-1. Not only did they not score enough goals, but if you look at the replay, those are the guys that were on the ice when they gave up the goal as well.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of finger-pointing going on. And they're saying that the goalie there, Samsonov, yeah. Now, I don't know. Do you know why Wall wasn't able to play? Because I had thought I had heard, Thomas, Saturday, that maybe he got hurt at the very end of Game 6 when the Bruins were still battling, right? And Geeky put in a goal with less than a second. If that's when the goalie actually got hurt, what a sequence of events that set this whole thing in motion.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the goalies and they can blame whatever they want to blame. That guy gave up one goal in regulation and then goes into OT. So you can't really go blame your goalie. Again, those tight games are going to happen, but you need to score some goals if you want to win. And they came out, they did their part. They got the first one. Bruins answered right away, which was huge, right? But obviously, it's easy to blame the goalie. And maybe in years past when they've lost, it was the goalie a little bit. I don't think we can blame the guy for that.
I thought he played great, Thomas. As I was watching the game, I was like, oh, man, I'd rather have the Wall guy in. I'm just saying it's really strange, just the incidents and stuff that took place, the course of events from, boom, him getting injured, he's not playing, now we're in this situation, and then everything that goes forward. Like you said, the Bruins are down in the third period. We score immediately after. And Lindholm, I think that was his first playoff goal with the Bruins. I think he had played 18 games and had not scored a goal in the playoffs. So I'm pretty sure that's what I heard this morning.
No, I mean, we know how good of a player he is. I don't think he's really an offensive weapon, right? It's like in the sense of there's other defensemen out there that are more known for their offensive ability. I mean, if you look at his entire career, go back, you know, the first couple of years, he scored a little more, but then the last few, he, you know, five goals, two goals, three goals. Like, it's not really that his thing. So having a guy like him, but, you know, he put that one in, and that was a big one.
It could be big moving forward. I keep reminding myself to think about how you always got to look on the bright side or the positive side of things. Saturday morning, I look in my notebook, or Saturday night, and there's 13 minutes left in the second period, and I put a star. I said, this must be what waterboarding is like. Just a slow torture. I mean, I'd been on the edge of my seat for 2.5 games, and just seems like the Bruins continuing to not be able to score and just let me down. And, oh, no, it's just setting me up for the big failure at the end. But, no, these guys totally redeemed themselves. How are you feeling about tonight's game? Any word yet on Ullmark or Swayman starting in game one? I would probably start Swayman, but I don't know. Either guy starts, I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this. Are they going to run with the guy who played phenomenal, or are they going to give the other guy a chance as well? I'm not sure. Obviously, they're going to make that decision. I'm with you. I don't think they can go wrong either way. Swayman played a lot, right? So it takes a toll on you as well. If you can get a couple relief games from Ullmark in this series, that would be fantastic too. Obviously, for the Bruins, it's a quick turnaround. Not much time to relax. Florida had a little bit of rest. It goes back to the old debate. Is it better to rest a little? Is it better to play through it? Honestly, these guys work out so much throughout the year and in the summers to be ready for these games. I don't think it's going to be a difference. I think they're going to be just fine.
Now, Ullmark did beat Florida 3 times this year. We beat him 4 times total. Ullmark was in net 3 times, and I think his numbers historically against Florida are very, very good. So I wonder if you were going to start Ullmark in either game one or game two of this series, it probably should be tonight, right, Thomas? Like, why would you go Swayman game one, and then even if we lose, like, go Ullmark game two? The psychiatry or psychology behind that, I would think if he's going to get a game, you give it to him tonight. Otherwise, it's just Swayman series all the way through.
No, I'm with you. I think that makes more sense, right? Like, they just played, they have an extra day off, give Swayman a couple more days to get in. And who knows, if Ullmark goes in and plays well and we win the game, maybe you let him play again. Like, what's the difference here? They're all, hey, if they go back to what they said before, we're going to need 2 goalies to play well, but I might as well do it now. But who knows? I mean, I could see Swayman, the way he's locked in, the way he's playing, I could see him go all the way and play every game and do just fine.
Exactly. I do think that if Ullmark went in again tonight and he gets a win, it's the teamwork, it's the bonding, it's we're all in this together in the locker room. And I believe that little bit can be the thing that sets you apart. Like that pass that Lindholm made, that's pretty insane for that to bounce off the boards exactly with the softness that the way that it did. Like, obviously, they practiced that play, Thomas. Like, they must have, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, they talked about it. This was like a set play. Does it happen and bounce perfectly? No, but sometimes it does, right? It just seems to work out perfect this time around. Well, if you look back and you really like watch it again, even in slow motion, the Bruins are doing their thing. Him and Pasta know exactly, okay, this is what we're going to do. This works out perfect. But it also works out perfect because the Leafs players were all standing there watching, not being ready, not doing their defensive part. And that's what I said earlier. You can look at their star players and go, hey, you didn't score goals, but hey, the effort level there at the very end, I mean, they're all standing there watching. They're like, oh, it's a dump. Our D will get it. Well, the D never went, and none of the forwards backchecked, and Pasta just went around them like they were almost like cones.
This is where coaching matters, Thomas. Like, obviously, Toronto didn't know that play. And people might not talk about this, but Pasta started with the puck. Like, Pasta had the puck, gave it to Lindholm, circles around, and then cooks down the outside to go ahead. So obviously, this was a play set up within the team. You said they practiced. Coaching matters on something like this.
I think it does. I do think the coach obviously has part of it, and maybe their guy has run out of options a little bit up there. He just doesn't know what to say anymore after all these years of losses. But at the end of the day, he's not the one on the ice, right? Again, it goes back to me. Our coach said it about Pasta, and Pasta's played well. It wasn't awful. He just hasn't produced. Well, their guys haven't produced either, but now they're also on the other end of the side where they're the ones giving up the goals. But it can't be blaming your third and fourth line guys. They weren't doing it. They didn't give up any goals. That's just pure paying attention. And they didn't. All 4 guys, if you look at the Leafs guys, they're all 4 looking at each other, standing in the middle, and nobody's picking up Pasta. Nobody's looking to hustle for the puck. And he walks right by them. And then, again, if you're a Bruins fan, who else do you want the puck on the stick with a, you know, semi-breakaway in overtime in game seven?
Yeah, might want to pay attention to David Pastrnak. Hey, however we got a win, I'm glad. Maybe this is what the national pundits are looking at, though. That maybe they're going, well, Toronto just totally didn't care at the end, or whatever. Not that they didn't care, but they just totally relaxed, and that's the only reason the Bruins won. Let's look forward to Florida and Boston here with the last few seconds, Thomas. Who's one player? I know Tkachuk we got to look out for, and I do not like this guy. Who's the second guy on Florida that everybody should be looking for?
I think they're just a solid team down there, and I think they improved from last year. Their goalie, you know, had an awesome run last year, and Bobrovsky, I think he's been stepping it up this year and playing the exact same way. So it'll be a tough game, but, you know, obviously Carter Verhaeghe has had some success so far with 5 goals already in the first 5 games, so he's someone to watch out for. But in total, I think they're going to come out hard, and they're going to want to do it again. You know, they've felt what it's like to be in the finals last year and then losing to Vegas. They want to get back there, and it's, you know, Florida has never won a Stanley Cup, so it's something that they, you know, feel like they have a chance to do so, and it'll be a tough series for the Bruins.
You got it, Thomas. Yeah, they got their own motivations down there in Florida. We're going to talk more about them later on. Thanks for the time this morning, Thomas. Have a great rest of the day. Monday, everybody, you have a great couple of minutes till we come back and talk some NBA hoops on the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. The Sports Machine with Slim. New Hampshire's next generation sports talk radio show. New England's next generation sports talk radio show. We are in New Hampshire. We love our New England sports. I will say on a side note too, potentially the Sports Machine with Slim is a very lucky show to be on. Do we remember a couple of months back there was a player from the St. Anselm College softball team that called up the show and said they needed to get donations for the program for expenses and stuff like that, and we said, okay, we're going to donate $100 over there. Do people know they finished 7th in their conference? It was 6th or 7th, sorry, I'm pretty sure 7th. But the tournament, the conference tournament was this past week. Guess who the conference tournament winner was, and I don't even know what conference they're in, but it was St. Anselm. They beat like the 6th place team, the 3rd place team, 2nd place team, and then in the championship game beat the 1st place team in a single elimination tournament. So they are your conference tournament champions. I'm glad to have them affiliated or in some way aligned, at least with the Sports Machine with Slim. I'm also glad to have the Pistol aligned with the Sports Machine with Slim.
Slim, I am not looking forward to tonight. The energy that I am going to spend watching the NBA Finals Game 2 is going to have me exhausted.
NBA Finals Game 2? Because what? You like Minnesota? They're going what?
Because these are the two best teams that we're watching in the NBA right now. And we get this action in the second round. This is incredible. I think the winner of this is the champion.
Minnesota and Anthony Edwards. I mean, people are starting to talk about it. I saw on ESPN on Saturday during the day, there was some analogy with Anthony Edwards comparing him to Michael Jordan. And man, he's the closest thing that I've seen.
It's funny because when he was playing USA basketball this past summer, he was definitely the best player on the team. And people were making that comparison. And I kind of scoffed at it. I'm like, they do this with every young guy. But now it's becoming a reality, man. This guy has been incredible in his last, like, 3 or 4 games.
And it's the biggest reason why is the competitiveness. And you see that through his defense. Like, obviously, he has all the skills athletically. The dude's a freak athlete. But he wants it. His energy level, it never stops on the defensive end. And as basketball purists, this is the guy we all can enjoy watching because we see the flaws in the players like of the teams that we root for, and like, man, I wish they would just play a little bit harder. And Anthony Edwards does play that hard.
Yeah, it's like we don't see this in players anymore, right? Like the fire, the getting somebody's face, talking, right? Like when he went at it last series with Durant, he nailed Sean Durant, and then he'd tell Durant, and Durant's like his hero. The guy has been incredibly fun to watch. He's so nice. Like, he's so intense. Like, to match that intensity is really, really tough. And, I mean, their defense, they harassed Joker all game long, right? Like, they picked him up basically full court and just he was exhausted by the time the fourth quarter came.
For people that don't know, Minnesota got out to an 18-4 lead to open up the game at Denver in game one. And then I saw Denver turned up the physicality on the defensive side of things. And I think the refs actually helped Denver a bunch in that game. I feel like they let them just really play rough. And then Minnesota offensively wasn't ready, so they were turnovers, leading the baskets. Anyway, in the end, 106-99 is your final score, and I just think Denver looked old.
Yeah, I mean, Denver looked flustered by the defense, and like you said, the physicality. I mean, Denver matched their physicality, because I thought Timberwolves looked good in the first round in terms of how physical they played. I was worried that Gobert was not going to be able to hold up against Joker, and he played real tough in that game. And, you know, Joker's like throwing his elbow every time just to try and create space. The physicality in that game was more than anything we've seen prior to that game.
I am glad the refs have been letting all the teams pretty much play physical through the first round and in this one here for first game of round two. But what I will say is I think that they were still very much trying to get Denver that win. There was one play where Anthony Edwards goes to shoot. He just got hacked.
Oh my God, bad
on the arm, no foul call. And then down the other end, shortly thereafter, he ends up going up and getting a dunk and comes down and like is kind of in the guy's face. Is just like he stares at him. I think he says something and gets called for a technical. And I'm like, dude, that was not a bad thing at all. It's like these refs, they wanted Denver to win and they still couldn't get the win.
Yeah, I would say like you had texted me that. And the two plays that I noticed are the two that you just mentioned, right? I was like, those were heavily, you know, those are, you know, a completely missed call and then a really bad call on the taunting. So disappointing. But overall, I do feel like the referees have been good in the NBA for the most part. Like, I don't feel there's too much favoritism. And, I mean, what a game. What a game by Edwards. It's going to be fun tonight to see how – I mean, Denver's pretty much a must-win situation. I don't think they want to go down 0-2 and head to Minnesota.
The favoritism comes on when they need games to extend series. That's why you watch this game tonight, and if I get on my pen and paper, the Denver's going to get every single call. Remember, those two calls you're talking about, I'm pretty sure those were after I sent you the text about, hey, these refs are very pro-Denver. Like, then there were a couple of, these are ridiculous calls afterwards. But it is what it is. The Boston Celtics, they're going to be facing off against Cleveland. Cleveland has no chance whatsoever, right?
Yeah, I don't like Cleveland in that at all. I mean, it was a good day for Donovan Mitchell yesterday, or even the last couple of games, when he really racked up some points. He is a playoff performer, right? So he might have a game against the Celts, but the Celts just have way too much firepower. I don't think it gets interesting for them until the conference finals. And hopefully they get New York, because they're going to need to get toughened up.
Well, I'm going to tell you something on the picks side of things, because you and me both have had our issues with giving out horrible picks. People that listen to the show know. Like, I kind of have no idea what I'm talking about. But then I go, wait a second, I was telling people last week the New York Rangers should be favored over Carolina. The Rangers go out and win game one. They're underdogs in the season series, not anymore. But I also said Minnesota's going to beat Denver. And Minnesota goes out and wins game one, and now they're favorites in the series. So I'm like, okay, maybe I know something. Do you know, on ESPN this morning, Pistol, I see 16 professionals, quote-unquote, like these commentators and whatnot in the media, 16 people picked the series, Knicks against the Pacers. All 16 went for the Knicks. I think the Pacers are going to win the series. I think it's going 7 at least.
Yeah, I definitely think that series is going long. The Pacers got to keep the pace up, right? Like, they want to run a fast-paced game. Knicks are going to try and slow everything down and beat them up. And it really just comes down to, like, the Knicks have to win on hustle plays. So the question is, do the Pacers let them get those hustle plays, or can the Pacers, like, get the rebounds and get the ball out and go?
Well, that's so what people don't understand. It's the Pacers are pure energy. They play hustle basketball all the time. Yes, it's primarily on the offensive end, but they still hustle on the defense. If you've been watching the last series against Milwaukee, they hustle. So I don't think the 76ers hustled like that.
No, the 76ers, like, I mean, Embiid was so hobbled in that series, and they had a lot of old guys too. So they're you know, Sixers are definitely a slow it down team. So the Knicks are going to be in for, like, it's going to be a much higher pace if Embiid can make it the way they want it to.
Exactly.
That series is really tough to pick. I feel like I need to see game one before I pick.
And what would you say tonight? I think it's 6-point favorites for the Knicks. I would say Indiana comes out with a strong effort tonight. Who knows how they're going to react to the crowd, though? Like you said, the crowd could have a huge hand in the outcomes of these games in New York.
Yeah, the New York crowds have been awesome. Like, tons of stars in the crowd, and they've been loud. I'm definitely going with the favorites tonight. I think the Knicks are going to win tonight's game, but I think the Pacers are going to make it a series for sure.
And you think Denver beats Minnesota in the game tonight? See, I just think Minnesota's like, we're not going to lose ever.
I mean, they certainly seem like that right now. I like Denver tonight. I actually still like Denver in the series. I think Denver's going to win the series. I know you're on the Timberwolves bandwagon now. But what a great matchup it sets up for the final round. If we get any of these like young guards, like SGA, Anthony Edwards, and Luka in the conference finals, that's going to be incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, they're getting to just showcase some of this younger, talented generation. Jason Tatum is one of those players, no doubt. And it's interesting, Pistol. The Celtics could end up playing the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Bruins could end up playing the New York Rangers. So it'd be Boston against New York.
I didn't think about that.
That could be just so fun because we hate each other, the two fan bases. Are you okay with listening to some of the hockey talk? I know you mandated me to play as much NBA talk and discussion as possible. But what?
Oh, yeah, the hockey talk has been great. I've been listening to it. I just love the NBA playoffs. So, you know, even like when there was a game 7 the other night, I was stuck on the, you know, Denver-Minnesota game.
I will say, and even though it was the Bruins, Pistol, I watched a lot of Minnesota. Certainly anytime it went to commercial, I was immediately over to Minnesota just because I want to watch Anthony Edwards play. The purist in me is like, I don't even want to miss a second of this. We got 10 seconds. What's the last firing shot you got?
Hey, the big thing I want to say is players who play for Team USA, they become so much better the following year. And Anthony Edwards is proof of that, especially when they're young. So we got to get guys on this from the Celtics on Team USA when they have a chance. Why is Jaylen Brown not playing Team USA?
That's something we will leave everybody to ponder during this commercial break. Then we're coming back to preview the Bruins against Florida tonight, Game 1. The Sports Machine with Slim Rose on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM. 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire Talk Radio. Who's ready to get fired up for Game 1 tonight? It's tough to bring the energy, baby, after that Game 7. It was like 3 Game 7s in a row, Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7. Because we all just wanted to win that first series so bad against Toronto, and we did, under extraordinary circumstances and a crazy good play by Hampus Lindholm and David Pastrnak. Both of them just catapulting the team and the fans into the next round. We got some help this morning to preview the game tonight. Maddie from the Benders podcast, welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you. That was quite a finish to a game, and the obviously the Bruins fan base kind of waiting for doom and gloom. And then, as you said, Lindholm and Pastrnak with a fantastic set play off the end boards, and Pastrnak with a great finish, the great hands he has, and it was a huge sigh of relief, I think, for everybody involved with the Bruins.
I did the follow. I listened to the follow-up Benders podcast that you did, and I thought you guys raised some great points on there. You and Smitty do it. And I would recommend to anybody out there the Benders podcast. Matt does a great job. His thoughts are very similar to mine, I will say, except he's more professional and sounds like he actually has reasons why, where I'm more just kind of pulling from air and going on emotion. But, man, it is funny how Hampus Lindholm just totally turned around, like, everybody's eyes or view of him after he had what I thought was a pretty bad series.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some struggles in the postseason. The thing that I think it's a little unfair with Lindholm because he plays a lot of minutes, and he is a good player, and there's a lot of times where he does the right thing, makes the right plays, and so forth. But he's caught a lot of grief, you know, because he'd never really never scored a goal in the postseason with Boston, had some real struggles. especially with really good forechecking teams in Boston. And, you know, it's so that's been, you know, sort of a downfall for him. And I just, you know, I'm just glad that he was able to do what he's able to do. And it was great for him. And you can see the team was very receptive to him, too. When he scored that goal, they were very excited. It was a huge goal for him with 8.5 minutes left with the season on the line. Another, you know, it was going to be another collapse and the whole thing. I mean, it was just a huge, he made a couple of just enormous plays under pressure in the clutch. And hopefully that catapults him to play much better and take a little bit of the pressure off going forward.
It's a career-defining type of play, because if the Bruins go on and accomplish some greatness here, everybody can rewind and go, hey, listen, it might not have happened if he didn't score that goal, and people be talking about that for years. What I'm going to tell you, you mentioned the he plays a lot of minutes, quote-unquote. Post-game, I saw Charlie McAvoy played 29 minutes, folks. And if you can think back, there were 2 to 3 times towards the end of the game, in the last maybe half of the second period and third, where McAvoy just totally brain cramped and like turned the puck over 2 or 3 times, was like, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, afterwards, like, well, maybe the dude's just tired playing so many minutes.
You know, he's had some problems with decision making in the playoffs, and he really has not played great at times. And there's some fans who are starting to kind of turn on him a bit, wondering if he's worth the money and so forth. I mean, again, he's a guy who plays a ton of minutes. He plays physically. He's not the best offensive defenseman in the world. He's struggled on the power play, but it's the decision making sometimes that really befuddles me too. And I saw the same thing. Like, there were some times where he couldn't clear the puck or was turning it over or just not making decisive decisions. And maybe it's just being a little nervous, a little anxious, not wanting to make the wrong play. I don't know what it is, but sometimes he seems to be in a little bit of a fog. And hopefully this series coming up here, he does have problems against teams with some speed and some hard forechecking. Now, Florida will forecheck hard, but they don't have quite the speed that Toronto does, and quite any gifted offensive players that Toronto has, so it's a different matchup for him. I think it might be better for him, but you're right. He's where he just isn't playing to the level that we're used to.
I do love me some Charlie McAvoy, so I'm just going to go under the premise that he was tired, and so there were a couple things that happened as a result of that. It's like the Etch-a-Sketch now. Everybody just, boom, we're clearing the slate. Everybody can be totally new players. We're going into a game one tonight, and I will tell you, Matt, on ESPN, 24 quote-unquote experts have picked this series, Florida or Boston. 23 out of 24 picked Florida.
Yeah, and I can see why. I mean, Florida won the division. Florida beat Boston last year. They did have Florida's number during the year this year. I mean, they beat them every time. And I think it's a pretty good matchup for the Bruins, honestly. Last year, they were up 3-1 on them. I mean, they were, you know, they could have beaten Florida. And Florida came back to win, obviously. But Boston was the better team last year. And I'm thinking to a man, I think they're just a slightly better team than Florida is, too. The problem is that Florida has their number in the playoffs. They seem to have the recipe to beat Boston, which is to be physical with their defensemen and to forecheck hard and to get into the sort of the nastiness of the series and get them off their game some with that. I think the Bruins are more equipped for that now with Wotherspoon and with Andrew Peak coming back from injury.
Is he back tonight? Is Andrew Peak back tonight?
I think back tonight. He was practicing in a regular jersey before game 7. He's awfully close. I would expect him not to be back tonight, but I think he'll be back pretty soon here in this series, which will be a big lift for them. I mean, he adds some physicality and he adds some sort of toughness to their back end defense. So I think they're more equipped, the Bruins are. Pat Maroon's in there. Justin Brazeau will do it. He's a big boy. They have some resources there to kind of handle Florida's grittiness and toughness. So I think it'll be a great series. It's a quick turnaround though. And Marchand talked about it today. Like, boy, it's hard to come back from being on cloud nine, you know, Saturday night, to come back Monday in Florida and start a new series altogether is a real quick turnaround. I'm interested to see how the Bruins will respond.
80% of the bettors are taking Florida tonight. Only 20% have the Bruins. So obviously that's going to be the thinking of everybody. Like, oh, the Bruins are going to be worn down and tired. I don't know. I think that just like the Festivus mentality has encapsulated every player within the Bruins' minds now. And we're just going to go out and we don't feel tired tonight. Let's go. Because there's guys waiting to get in. Like you just said, if Andrew Peak is ready to play, like everybody else that's playing, especially the bottom two deep pair of the Bruins, like, dude, you guys better be ready to play because there's a guy right behind you who wants to get in. We're deep this year, Matt.
It's true. And you know what? Sometimes it can work against you when you have a little bit of a layoff, and sometimes it can be a positive when you go right in and just keep playing, you know, every other night. And it might be a little bit of a positive. The Bruins have been playing, like you mentioned, you know, three game sevens in a row with high pressure. And now they're coming into, you know, they're used to the pressure-packed game. You know, they're used to playing with tons of adrenaline. Maybe they come in tonight and it's just, you know, the same sort of thing. And Florida's had a little bit of a layoff. So maybe they come in a little bit of, you know, rusty and just a little bit of a letdown, and maybe Boston can steal game one just from that fact alone. Who knows?
Me and my brother talk about it in baseball all the time. You got the teams that were like way ahead, like the Dodgers, and they're not playing high competitive games towards the end of the season. You got the teams that go out and they have to play in like the wild card game, and so they're playing these elimination and they're feeling it, and then they get in, and then the first round over the last couple of years, they've had tremendous success, these teams that continue to play hard at the end. And so Florida's been sitting around for a week. The Bruins are just jumping right into it. Like, dude, you're not going to feel anything any way better, like, oh, things are going to go our way, than the ending of game seven. And that's still with all the players. So the Bruins should easily be able to come out. We're not tired tonight, dude. Let's go.
I agree. I mean, again, they're used to kind of playing high pressure games, and they're used to playing at a certain pace, certain level. And had a little bit of a time off here. So, and Boston has all the motivation in the world to beat Florida. I mean, Florida ruined their historic season last year. I mean, it's all the makings of Boston trying to right that wrong.
And so everybody's picking against them, you know, Matt. I just said, you know, 23 out of 24. So like the Bruins players know everybody's picking against them. That gets you motivated, man.
I'll gladly take the underdog role 100%. I think the Bruins can absolutely win this series. And I'd be disappointed if they didn't, because I think that the Bruins, good if not slightly better than Florida up and down the lineup. And if they stay healthy, you know, and they get more from Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha, that's a huge thing. I mean, their center play is not good.
We need everybody to jump on board, Matt. That's the end of the show today. But I will tell you, I embrace the underdog role for the Bruins. And for the sports machine with Slim in the Sports Talk New England world here, WKXL Radio is on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Let's do this tonight, nhtalkradio.com.